yesterday we threw the kids in the pool in the afternoon, and we got chin wagging about the slip, slop, slap.
Uh-huh.
Right. And one thing popped into my head, and I'm curious to get your opinion, or rather, you know, how you might even go about it. But it's easy for me to get sun cream on my back on a hot day when I'm at home because Liz is generally there.
Ah.
Yeah. I wander over to Liz and say, "Hun, pop your hand out." I go, out comes a squirt of the... the kids are home at the time.
Uh-huh.
Out comes a squirt of the sun cream. I say, "Can you just pop that all over my back?"
Yes.
But what happens?
I haven't always got a Liz.
Yeah. What happens if you're home alone or you're alone somewhere?
Well, because, of course, there's that... Yeah, you can get it on the top part of the shoulders. You can get it on the bottom part of the back fat kidney suet area.
Yeah.
But you cannot get that center of the back. Well, I can't anyway, but I'm not very flexible.
Oh, Pete. Oh, what? Matt.
What?
What?
Look, when you've been an independent woman for a long time...
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
You find ways to do a lot of things on your own.
Right.
This is how you do it.
Okay.
If you're at home anyway. I don't know how you do it out in public, but if you're at home, you take your sunscreen, you rub it all over the shower tiles, on the wall, and then you just turn your back to it and you grind, baby.
You grind.
You grind against the tiles and you rub it all over your back.
And then you've got to clean the tiles.
Yeah, but you do that when you're in the shower anyway. Don't worry about it.
You can't all just call the grout guy every five minutes of every day.
You know, that just washes off with a bit of soap and most of it will be on your back by then. So you just use the tiles. Your back against the shower tiles and just go.
I mean, that sounds like a technique. I don't know if it's the best one.
It's a good technique, but like what if you're at the beach?
Ah.
You just go up to the manky walls of the Scarborough.
Oh, you do not. Imagine you down at Scarborough on those manky walls just grinding up against them, trying to get sun cream on your back, you weirdo.
Well, the germaphobe in me would never do that.
When I was young and beautiful, maybe I could have asked one of the lovely lifeguards to do it for me, but I don't think they'd want to touch me.
What if you're a crazy introvert and you don't like talking to strangers?
Why'd you leave the house in the first place? I mean, this is really...
You know what you do? You wear a rashie, mate. You wear a rashie.
How do you get sun cream on your back if no one is with you? Got one for you?
Go on.
Yep.
Paint roller.
Oh.
Okay.
Now, hear me out.
On a pole?
On a pole. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be a long pole, half a pole. Mm-hmm. Okay. It depends how long your back is, I guess.
Yep.
But paint roller, because you can get a nice, even run along your back. You can cover
splatters.
No splatters. Yeah. Cover every square inch as well. And depending on which paint roller you get, you can have different designs.
Oh.
Yeah. I guess by the time you get to the crack of your bum, you sort of start cutting in, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Tracy.
Hello.
It's going to be a bloody hot one today, mate.
Oh, I know.
It's going to be hot for a little while, but do you have people around you?
No, sometimes I do. If I do, I have my kids, so I use them.
Okay.
I'm often at the beach by myself, and then I have that conundrum every time. I'm like, who am I going to get for the middle of my back? And I generally ask, I look around for the families, and I ask, the mum or the female. Otherwise, I have to go and ask the nearest person.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that would be weird if you walked up to a family and you asked the dad to do it in front of the family.
You don't want it to seem weird, but also the reason Tracy asks a mum is because mums apply sunscreen
properly.
Without gaps.
Yes.
Mums put sunscreen on so that you don't get burnt for the next 6 months.
True.
Everyone else just whacks it on. Everyone's had a boyfriend gone, "I'll put it on your back," and then missed gaps galore.
Really? Okay.
Hey, Tracy, what's your strike rate? Have you got 100% strike rate on asking somebody to apply sun cream to your back?
Yeah, 100%. I think people think it's their fault if you skin cancer, if they don't get it right.
Yeah, right. Okay. There you go. That's pretty good.
Who's going to say no? I wouldn't say no if someone else.
I reckon there'd be people out there who would say no. I reckon there'd be some people who might be a bit uncomfortable.
Jerry Seinfeld, for one. Yeah. But it would be an awkward. There would be a moment of awkwardness.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
There's an idea for you. So good luck to you in the heat today.
Pete, Matt, and
Kimber. Gee, it's hard to go past a good potato chip.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, whether it be a crisp or a hot chip. I think hot chips are probably kind of like, they're sort of like my kryptonite, right? Like, I love a hot chip.
A good hot chip.
Got to get in there. Yeah, it's great. Like, so good. But America have really upped their game because their potato chip brand, Lay's, Remember the old Lay's brand? Yes. I don't know if we still have them here. Do we have them still? We used to.
Think so. I don't know why I say that.
I don't know.
Well, they've gone and created Chips of Champions.
They shape them to look like champions.
Oh, it's next level, Maddie.
Okay.
It's a new limited edition Golden Grounds chip, which are made from potatoes that were grown in soil that's been taken from NFL stadiums and fields around the country.
Wow.
How much soil are they taking out of those grounds?
Yeah.
It's a lot of potatoes.
Don't ask for details, Pete, that they would absolutely never provide.
No, let's it's say like a sprinkle, if at all.
Someone's just stuck their hand in the ground, taken a bit of soil from all of these champion grounds around the country and grown special potatoes in them. So they say that the potatoes are then infused with the grounds and the glory of each NFL team.
Wow. And Gatorade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. The electrolytes in there, they'll pump those potatoes up in the nitrogen from the urine of Tom Brady.
Well, you know, the chip, then the chip bags have got the team colours and logos on them.
Yes.
And so, like, this thing would go off if they did this in Australia and said, we've taken a little bit of soil from Optus Stadium and a bit from Adelaide and a bit from, and you can get your team's potato chip. They'd go berserk.
They would.
People would love that.
Absolutely.
But apparently you can't even buy them.
Why?
It's a sweepstake. You got to get your name in like a list. It's like trying to get tickets to Glastonbury. It's a sweepstake for 5,800 bags of chips.
Okay.
And apparently Coors Light Beer, they did this last year as well. They infused their light beer with ice from ice hockey rinks. From all of their champions.
I love it. And you know that these are the sort of things as well that people will buy them, they'll hold on to them.
Yeah.
Like real fans. You know what I mean? Like there will be some people out there who will be part of the sweepstake. They'll get this bag of chips and in 10 years it'll still be sitting up in the bar in the pool room. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait till they have one where they're, you know, grown the rhubarb from the soil from lawn bowls clubs across Perth. For your rhubarb and custard.
Oh. You're kidding me? Yeah! Here we go.
Get on your horses.
All right.
Ooh.
Found me whip.
That one felt stingy.
Felt good.
It
felt good.
Was it a bit close?
That brings back memories.
I'm sorry.
Oh, so does that.
Now, we've got three different bits. That was a pick. Three different bits of audio here from three different years. They could be made up of songs or moments in times or TVs, movies, all that sort of stuff. I'm going to play them to you one by one. You can have a listen. You come back, tell me what year you think they are from. Close to the pin, best of three wins. And you listening, you can play along as well. Are we ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Together, we will make America great again.
Peach Perfect 3 is the Bellas are having what's called a quarter life crisis. While we're young, dumb, young, young,
dumb, and broke. 2015.
Ooh, bang.
Wow.
Just like that.
I cannot even remember when Trump was going for the election. Don't even remember when that was.
Well, he still is, isn't he?
And Pitch Perfect. I don't know if that was first or second, but I'm gonna go 2016 because I don't. Ooh, what am I gonna do?
Playing the game.
I don't know.
Strategy.
I mean, that's what I mean, Trump was in power from 16 to 20, right?
Right.
But I'm thinking, well, maybe that was 2015.
It sounded pre. It definitely sounded. He said, we're going to make America great.
Yeah. Mm. Past tense.
But, I mean, he could have really said throughout
any
his entire presidency.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at some point it should happen, guys. Just trust me. It was 2017.
Oh,
2017.
Sorry, Maddie, I rode your coattails.
Young, Dumb,
one,
and Broke by Khalid. It was when President Trump was inaugurated and Pitch Perfect 3 was released. Pitch Perfect 3.
Yes,
I mean,
three.
You know, it was such a banger.
I've only seen the first two. I'm way behind.
All right, it's okay. It's all right. Kimber 1. Maddie, bring it back here.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone is the first of many books Joanne has planned.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
Dad, 450.
But Jousting Sticks, tell him he's dreaming.
Fantastic. 95.
95.
Yeah.
95. Oh, I think it... Oh, I remember who I watched The Castle with.
Do you? Who was it?
Mm.
Actually, can I say 96?
Okay, you need a 96. 96.
Damn it. That's what I was going to go in with there. That's a bummer.
It's a zinger.
Yeah, look, I'll go 97, but I think 96 is probably right.
I've got one of those name-droppy kind of stories about the castle.
Have you?
Yeah, I was at the rat party. Because I at that point I was like a, you know, I'd made a couple of films myself, and my mate who I went to NIDA with was the tall son who keeps going, "Dad, this bloke wants to get rid of jousting sticks." Yeah, yeah, he's a guy I went to drama school with.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a great story.
Glory days.
I really think 96 was on the money, though.
You reckon?
I did, yeah.
What makes you think that, though?
I just, because 97 I graduated high school, and I just don't think I was doing Barbie Girl in year 12.
Hmm.
Just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, right.
The castle, I feel like I watched it the year before, but I don't know.
If Maddie hadn't gone for 96, would you have gone for 96?
I think so.
Oh, interesting.
Well, go on. You want to go for 96?
Do you want to swap?
Yeah, go on.
Do you guys want to swap?
Just, you know, for...
It's not how this game works.
No, you're gonna stick with 1997?
Yeah, because that was my truth.
You've got your opportunity to swap here.
No, it's all right.
No?
It is what it is.
Okay. All right.
Live and die by the sword.
Sword.
By the jousting stick.
Well... I'm proud of you, mate, because it was 97.
Wow. Turns out I was Barbie Girl in year 12.
Aren't we still?
Hey, just for fun, shall we hear the last one?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. You would not believe your eyes if
10 million fireflies. What's up? I'm Bruno.
Hardly anyone had heard of it. And when people started to hear the word Bitcoin, not many of them gave it a second's thought.
What was the first one? Because I don't know that.
That was Fireflies. Yeah, by Owl City. Now, Fireflies and Owl City, it was a big song, but it was big in particular because he was just a dude in his bedroom creating music.
Okay.
And then went absolutely bunter. Sure, just sort of one of the YouTube famous generation.
Okay.
I would have gone
YouTube to mainstream.
I think I would have gone 2013 on that.
Mm-hmm.
Just for fun.
I wouldn't have known, really. Bruno. Was that Bruno?
Yeah, with Bruno.
Gee, I love that film.
Great film. Great
film. I wouldn't have known, but I would have gone 2015 probably.
Right. It was 2009.
Was it?
2009. Bitcoin created in 2009.
Right.
God, if you had put $10 on Bitcoin in 2009, you would be worth...
You would have $15.
No, mate. Don't get me started.
I had the chance.
Yeah, I did. I heard about it early. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. Kimber, congratulations, mate. Two points on the board to you.
Thanks, Maddie.
Well done.
We were having a chat yesterday about school holidays.
Yes.
How hard it is to entertain the kids and how you've got to kind of take them everywhere.
Well, I brought Steppy D in, my stepdaughter, and it was like I could see how bored she was being here. But, yeah, I had to.
And well, while we were chatting, we had a phone call from 9-year-old Sadie. And we were talking to Sadie, and then we had a chat with her about whether or not she would be allowed to stay home alone. Sadie, have you checked in to find out how old you're going to be before you're allowed to just not get in the car and you can stay home on your own?
I think maybe this year, because I'll be turning 10, so...
Oh, that sounds very responsible.
You sound very responsible, Sadie.
You do.
Thank you.
Now, we did think Sadie sounded like a very grown-up 9-year-old, for sure. But I know times have changed, but when I was 10, I mean, we were home well and truly younger than that on our own. But I remember at 10, my parents moved house. So we grew up, I was living in Belmont and we moved to Leeming. But we still had to continue the school year where we were back at Belmont, back at Cloverdale Primary. So when I was 10, I would take my 7-year-old brother and we would catch the bus in Leeming into the city and we'd walk through the city of Perth and then we'd go to the next bus stop and catch a bus from the city to Belmont.
Yep.
And I did that every day for all of grade 6 and took my brother to and from the city and home every day.
Yes.
And that was normal.
Wow.
We were home alone really young. Both my parents were full-time workers.
Yeah.
We didn't have the money to not have them at work. And so we just were home all the time.
Yeah. And it does feel now that parents are, there are more variables going on, perhaps more traffic than there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
People feel that there's more dangers out there.
I feel like we've got more crim safe on our windows than we've ever had before. We've got security cameras. You can check in with your kids' location on their phone. Like, how much trouble could they really be getting into?
Oh, I don't think I think the first age I was allowed to stay at home was 23. No, look, it's wild listening to you catch the bus into the city, you and your younger brother at the age of 10. Because I don't think, like, we were allowed to catch the bus up the street, let alone into the city, until we were, like, well into our late teens. Like, we're not even joking.
How else were we going to get around? And my parents were just like, you have to do it.
I was a single parent family. Mum, you know, she had to work full time. My brother and I had to do things. We had to heat up, wasn't a microwave either, heat up some pasta because, you know, Mum wasn't going to be home.
No, for us, if it was like, if Mum wasn't home, well, Nonna and Nonna lived around
that's
the corner.
That's right, yes.
Uncle Frank was next door. Like, it's like Italian family, it's crazy. But I, like, looking, Liz and I have spoken about our kids and when we'd sort of be able to let them stay home by themselves. And I feel like 10's a reasonable age because our eldest is 5 and wouldn't do it sort of now. Probably wouldn't feel comfortable given she's got 2 younger siblings as well. Yeah. And probably wouldn't feel comfortable for a few years. Yeah, I reckon 10's probably a reasonable age,
well,
I think.
Steppy D's 10 and, you know, we feel confident that we can go away, my wife and I, for an hour or two, knowing that there's only a couple of rules and they basically are around, you know, don't answer the door and don't use fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know.
And they're good rules.
Yeah.
Like, what's an acceptable age to leave your kids at home alone?
Mm.
And I say acceptable, I mean that whatever's working for you.
Jeans, joggers, can we just grab a bead on this and just double check this? But apparently on the text line, legally children can only be left at home alone from 12 years of age.
As I said, we don't leave Steppy D at home alone at all. Your Honour.
Okay. Jeff in Brabin, good morning to you, mate. An acceptable age to leave your kids home alone. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say 10, but I feel like 12 is more appropriate.
You're sticking with 12, Jeff. As your lawyer, I suggest 12, Jeff.
Yeah. And I'm married to one, so go figure. Right, so, yeah, I think between sort of 10 and 12, like our house, for example, we've got a Ring camera at the front door, and to toot the tune, you've got the fridge can actually see the camera, funnily enough. So when somebody rings the doorbell, our eldest, who's 12, he can actually look at the fridge and see who's at the front door and decide whether he's not going to, is or isn't going to answer it.
Yeah, okay, great. Cool.
Now, ironically to that, that is also the same way that they then ask us for something. So what they'll do is obviously we get a notification on the phone that someone's at the front door. So instead of Jake calling us, he will just press the doorbell and then we'll look at the thing and see him there and he'll ask us for something through the camera instead of actually calling us on the phone.
Dad, where have you hidden the chocolate?
Yeah.
Where are the chips? But, you know, I can understand that's a great idea. And the fact, because also too, you want to know that you can trust your kids to be at home when you need them to be.
Yeah.
Like there is going to be a circumstance potentially where you can't be there. You've got to go and attend to somebody or there's an emergency or whatever. And knowing that they are safe and that they'll be okay is quite reassuring.
Yeah.
The website raisingchildren.net.au says there's no one law in Australia that says how old children must be before you can leave them home alone.
Okay.
So we good, guys?
All right.
We good. Now, I mean this with respect, but the older end of our demo listening may know this song. Everybody wants to learn. Matt, I defer to you.
That is the Uncanny X-Men the lead singer Brian Mannix.
That is correct.
Out the front there.
And this story gave me a bit of a chuckle because Brian Mannix has appeared on the news because he's been attacked by a shark.
No, really?
Yeah. But when I say attacked by a shark, it looks like a little nibble.
Oh, God. Because, you know, one of his other songs was Where Will We Be in 50 Years? I guess we know now.
Is that right? Well, one? Was it? Hang on. Where will we there you go.
Sorry, you were waiting. Sorry,
I stuffed you. No, you haven't stuffed me. Okay. No, that was a wonderful segue into that song, so I just happen to have it here. There are 2 Brian Mannix or Uncanny X-Men songs in this system.
And we've used them both.
We've used them both.
Bloody hell.
But even better is that when you read a little bit more into the story, he was out on a yacht with John Sammy Newman and Warwick Capper.
Oh, the dream team.
Whose yacht was that?
It was Sam Newman's yacht.
How did the 3 of those people come together?
Crazy, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you'd expect if someone was to say to you, hey, you know, it was out with three old blokes in a yacht, you might know them, stars, stuff like that. Maybe Warwick Capper and Sam Newman, you'd expect to be the ex-footballers. Yes, yep. Brian Mannix out there as well. It's a bit of a surprise, but a good laugh. Mm. And just looking at these pictures as well, it's the three of them, you know, old dudes, like 60s, 70s. I think Sam Newman would be 140 by about now. Surrounded by bountiful young women. Oh, out in the middle of this yacht, right? Yeah. You know? So, yes, he's fallen in the water. He's copped a little bit of a nibble. Warwick Capper, being the hero, as he always is, has jumped in to save him.
Warwick.
Dragged him back into the boat. And it's all right, everybody. Brian Mannix is okay.
Oh, thank God.
Lives to fight another day.
I'll tell you what, Warwick Capper would want something for it. Anytime we interviewed him on air, he'd be like, yeah, I'll come on your show. You got 10 CDs for me?
Really? Pete,
Matt and Kimber. Florence did a classic Florence the other day. Well, actually, it wasn't classic Florence. It surprised me. And I know that we like to attribute human emotions to our animals, anthropomorphize them, which isn't always correct. I think we project a whole lot of stuff onto them where they're just going, no, I just want food.
Yeah.
So just give me food. Eat and sleep. Yeah. But I saw something in her that was very human, very relatable to me. There was a time when Flo was younger. Well, she's now three, and my wife T and I, well, the whole family, we were finding her quite difficult to deal with as a puppy. Mm-hmm. So we sent her away to somewhere else, much like the royal family. We sent her off to doggy daycare so they could deal with her for a lot of these days.
Parents do this to boarding school.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And while she was there, she made a special friend. And, of course, Florence being the rebellious girl that she was, her special friend was the bad boy.
I'm the bad guy. Duh.
Ooh, Bosley.
Bosley?
Big boy.
Bosley.
Bosley. Big boy in every way. In every way. he's the sort of boy you can imagine picking your teenager up from and going, I'll have her back when the tattooist is finished with her.
Right.
That, you know, scary, right? And Flo would be all over him. As soon as we take her to doggy daycare, she'd spot Bosley and she'd be over there being very flirtatious, you know, bum in the air, wagging the tail. And he'd give her a bit of a look and then cold her.
Oh, okay.
And she loved it.
Just enough to keep her interested.
Oh, totally, totally. It was very, you know, he had her eating out of the palm of his paw, right? So 2 years at least has passed, and in that, since, you know, we decided it was time for us to step up and do some parenting of our own. and so they haven't seen each other, and in that time, Florence has been sterilised, although before, you know, we let her have a full season before we sterilised her, and when she was in heat, she was doing all those kind of behaviours. I saw her, you know, being flirtatious with male dogs. Since then, 2 years, I have never seen her show the slightest bit of interest to another male dog. She'll tell them off if they come anywhere near her. We ran into Bosley. The change in her was remarkable.
Wow.
She had not forgotten this first love. She was straight down into the submissive position. She was like as coy as you can imagine, right?
Wow. Has Bosley moved on, or has he got some room in his life for Flo?
Well, I think he was still playing it cool, but hey, we all like to be adored, right?
Yeah,
But seeing her, it was quite shocking to see her go straight back to that, oh my God, I love that guy. Hey, maybe it is love. It must be
love, love, love. Never forget your first love, mate.
Oh, Bosley.
Guys, how are we feeling at the moment? Feeling okay?
Oh.
I don't know. The world feels a bit meh.
Yeah.
It does feel a bit meh.
It does.
A little bit. Even on a beautiful day like this.
But even like in particular today, did we sort of wake up going, oh, just
maybe,
don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling. Yeah. Hard to articulate, but it's there.
It is there. Yeah. I feel like it's there as well. And, I don't mind checking out the horoscopes and star signs and astrology and stuff from time to time. But
See you guys.
See ya, mate. Yeah. All the best. See ya. Thanks for coming. Unless I don't dive in. I haven't drunk all of the Kool-Aid. but, you know, apparently today we're experiencing what's known as the wolf moon.
Okay.
Mm.
You ever heard of the wolf moon?
No, I have not.
The wolf moon. So the wolf moon is a major astrological event. and it's occurring over the last 24 hours and into today. Apparently, the energy is meant to peak here in around about half an hour.
You know, I saw something about this and I didn't read any further because they specifically mentioned my star sign.
Is that
whenever
right?
Whenever you read something and they don't mention anyone else, they just threw me under the bus.
What's your star sign?
Scorpio.
Scorpio.
So, okay. Me too.
They rolled in and they said, and Scorpio, you're out to get something.
Yeah, oh, right.
What they were like, what do they mean? Something like, we're pushing for like definitive answers. They said that we're trying to ruin our relationships at the moment.
Well, it's the relationships thing, right? And the reason why.
And it was like, Scorpio, okay, you're going to bury this thing, basically. And I was like, I'm stepping back.
They reckon that relationships are in jeopardy at the moment, at this particular time,
okay,
with this energy. Because for a few reasons, but also because, and this doesn't happen often, Mercury, Venus and Uranus are all in retrograde at the moment. So God.
That's when it all goes pear-shaped.
Nothing worse when Uranus is in retrograde.
But, but whenever I think of this, and I got to thank you, Kimber, for correcting me on this, because I thought it was Moira. And it wasn't Moira.
He was like, let's cross to Moira.
You idiot.
And I was like, she's just going to sell us something.
Yeah, oh, Moira, yes. Okay, yeah.
Was it Good Morning Australia?
Gosh, I think she's still doing it.
Is she still doing it?
Yeah.
Moira's still floating around doing
so.
It. So Good Morning Australia was a show back in the day. It was morning television.
It was Bert Newton.
It was Bert Newton. Yeah. And then Kennedy? I want to say Kennedy. Anyway. Moira was the woman who was selling stuff.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Moira that I was thinking of. It was Karen.
Oh, Karen Marigold.
Karen.
You
Marigold,
absolute gem.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Good morning, Karen Watson's talk. Well, good morning, guys, and good morning, everyone.
Right, and she talked like that.
Yeah.
And Karen was the astrologist for Australia.
She was, wasn't she?
I don't even know if we had another. It was just Karen to
herself.
She's
the go-to, yes.
And it would be your day by the stars.
Mm.
And you'd be there listening to it. And my mum would get into it. Oh, God, she'd get into it single morning while we were sitting there waiting to, you know, take off to school.
Pete, I'm surprised we were even allowed to talk about it on the show today because, let's face it, when Mix 94.5 stopped doing their daily astrology, we got a lot of complaints.
Did we?
Yes.
Yes. Mix used to do
and
it.
I don't know if people are over it yet. And we might still get some because we've just stirred the beast.
Well, okay. We do have a text line, so 048-21. So 048-21-945.
And Pete will tell you how you're going to ruin your relationship today.
You want us to bring it back. Shoot us a text.
Can I hear Karen again, please?
Well, yes.
Have you got some more?
Yeah, I've got well, just a little bit more.
Karen Watson's talk. Well, good morning, guys, and good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
I just want to hear her lose her absolute nana.
I don't know if she ever has.
No, I don't think she ever has, but I just kind of feel like if Karen was doing today's or doing it in general at the moment, it'd be like Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. We're all stuffed. That's where it'd be.